Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
I'm Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
And I'm Sean McIndoe, and I'm announcing my retirement from, I work at the Athletic still.
That's right.
I tried to retire yesterday, and they said, no, you can't.
Yeah, it's a situation where none of these freaking millennials want to work anymore.
That's it.
They're all doing quiet quitting.
Quiet quitting, am I right?
Resignation.
Yep.
But that was a while, because, you know, I wake up and I see maybe 5 minutes before Keith Yandel was like, I'm out. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, you know, you barely got into a bunch of games last year and that kind of thing. I get it. You know, hey, he was really good for a while, though, wasn't he? You know?
Yep.
And then and then PK Subban's like, well, what about me? And I'm like, well, you were even better than that other guy who also just retired. He won a Norris Trophy.
He did.
You know, pretty good. I went to a Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Really good career. And then Zdeno Chara is like, these two fucking bums?
Yep.
No, I'm retiring today.
So now you're like, okay, who's next? That's...
Yeah, I'm like, can we get like Nicklas Lidström? Like,
that's
we're
right.
Just slowly leveling up here. I was thinking like by 6 p.m. we're going to Bobby Orr. I am retiring
from
the National
League. I feel bad for Keith Yandel. Like, don't you feel like if you're if you're a player that like you probably figure your retirement day, like, you know, you're going to just sit back and watch the good vibes roll in. You know, it's going to be Keith Yandel day. And then by the end of the day, you're like, Keith Yandel did what? I don't even remember.
Let's put it this way. Keith Yandel, he's a Boston guy. You know, and not even worth covering in Boston that a local guy who played in the league for like 15 years or whatever is the current NHL Ironman.
He is
record holder. Doesn't even like warrant a mention in the local papers because it's like, oh, this other guy retired. He played 1,000 games for the Bruins, won a Stanley Cup for them.
Yeah. So tough break for Keith.
I feel really bad. Like, even PK Subban retiring, you're like, look, obviously PK Subban was the better player, had a better career, you know, and that's not a knock on Keith Yandel. Keith Yandel was really good for like 5 or 6 years there. I think I looked it up yesterday. I think he had like a top five Norris season one time.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's awesome. He was so good, especially in Arizona, but even as he bounced around a little bit, like, you know. It's a classic case of he signed a contract that people just decided was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, well, that means he's bad.
Yep. So, yeah, he was quite good. I'm looking at it now. He had a top five Norris. He had 3 years in a row where he got Norris votes.
Yeah.
He got a Hart vote in that 1 year.
Wow.
Which,
now,
you know.
Was that by a guy who covered the Coyotes?
For a defenseman playing for the Coyotes, that's not bad.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Then PK Subban retires and it's like, oh, that guy had a way better career actually than me, a guy who had an awesome career, made a shitload of money. Like you said, got a Hart vote one time.
Yeah.
And then this other guy retires and everybody's like, Keith who?
Yeah. The Subban one was actually surprising. That's the only one out of the three where we didn't really see it coming.
I a little bit saw it coming only because I think last week the NHL was like, oh, we're developing a series with PK Subban. And I'm like, oh, he's not playing anymore. That's it.
Yeah, I guess that would have been a hint.
He's basically doing like the Peyton's places, but PK's places.
Okay.
Is what I understand it to be. And, you know, classic thing of just like, well, I could put myself through a lot of physical duress to get ready for an NHL season to play for maybe $1 million, maybe.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He was good last season. Again, was he $9 million good? No, of course not. But Was he a perfectly good NHL player who would have, if you put him in the right situation this year, helped just about any team in the league? Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, the fact that he didn't sign anywhere was a little, had felt a little weird. And I mean, he's one of those guys, and we kind of do this, right? Where when somebody is on a contract that, I mean, I was going to say is perceived as an overpay. I don't even think it's perceived. Everybody would agree. He was making too much money at the end of that deal. But everyone just kind of goes, oh, okay, so you got your free money, so now you'll go somewhere else and you'll sign cheap. And you know, some guys don't necessarily want to do that. But
even beyond that, the idea of, again, like just all your, like everything you got to do to get ready for an NHL season at his age, he's got, you know, various lingering injuries. I think knee and back are some of the things he's dealt with in recent years. And it's like, well, I could do that, or I could make not the same amount of money I probably could have made in the NHL, but like a good amount of money to make a TV show, go on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rather do that. Like if I'm PK Subban, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to fucking do burpees anymore. I just want to go
on TV. And he always seemed like a guy who loved playing hockey, but also like wasn't one of these hockey robot guys who has no other interests.
Yeah, he has like
no
interests
other
in his life. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for him. But, I mean, what a weird career for him. Like I can't think of too many guys who have followed that career arc where like he just, you know, blows into the league as this like fantastic rookie, wins a Norris in his third season. And people remember, you get this revisionist thing happening where it's like he was this one-hit wonder, but he wasn't. He was first-team All-Star 2 years later, Norris finalist in Nashville.
And he should, and not just a reputation thing. Like he was a Norris caliber player.
Yeah.
In Nashville.
2017-18, he comes off of leading the Predators to a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Is a second team All-Star, finishes third in Norris voting on a President's Trophy winner. And then one not so good season, gets traded, couple more not so good seasons, and now out of the league by 32.
I mean, injuries, right? Like he
injuries,
It really feels like it's that simple to me, where like injuries, you know, the year after he, like you say, finishes top three in the Norris, he only played 63 games, and you watching the Predators then, you could kind of tell, he can't get around like he used to.
Yep.
And for some guys, it's that simple. Like you lose half a step, and all the advantages you had that made you a like mega elite player, like he was. For what, like 5-6 years, like a top five defenseman in the league?
6 years, I would say, yeah. Six-year stretch where he was a Norris finalist three times and an All-Star three times.
Yeah,
and
unbelievable.
The weird thing is, like, you know, if you said, like, again, at the end of that 2018 season, you're making a list of the five best defensemen in the NHL. PK Subban's on that list. And if you had said at the time, he's got 4 years left, you would have thought, you probably would have thought injury, but you would have thought like catastrophic injury. You would have thought, you know, oh, he's going to take a cheap hit. There's going to be like some big, and it wasn't really that. It was just the wear and tear and grind. And like, I know it almost maybe becomes cliche for us sometimes, like the two of us, where we're talking about players as they're getting older and, you know, don't invest in guys that are over a certain age getting into their 30s. But I mean, this is an extreme example, but this was a guy, if his contract had been up after that age 28 season, you would have said, yeah, go ahead, give him 6 or 7 years.
Yeah,
maybe
for
eight.
Sure.
You know, invest heavily. And it just the production, the numbers went off a cliff.
Yeah, and this is, it really is just kind of like I don't know if you want to say like the perfect object lesson, and like why it's risky to sign older guys to the kind of deals we're talking about right now. But it really does show you, like, in three seasons, you can go from one of the best players in the league to a guy who is like, yeah, you know what? I think I might retire, actually.
Yeah. Like, no interest at even.
It can catch up with you so fast when you're over the age of 30. And that's just how it goes. And yeah, anyway.
Lots of very cool stories about him coming out, like, doing charity work. And like, I'm at a point where I will no longer allow myself to make any judgments about who's a good guy and who's not. We don't know these guys, but certainly a lot of those stories going out are very good stories. And you know, if you haven't seen them, if you seek it, like some of the, especially the Montreal beat writers, just, you know, talking about him making trips to hospitals. And, you know, obviously we know that, you know, the big donation to the hospital there in Montreal, but, you know, just giving his time and stuff happening when the cameras weren't on and that kind of thing. You know, good stories. So
have you ever seen that video of him, like, taking a bunch of disadvantaged youths from Montreal to the Habs practice facility? Have you seen this video?
No, I haven't.
He gets, like, you know, he does like the thing Eli Manning did this week where he puts on a bunch of makeup and he poses as the bus driver.
Yeah.
And they're walking around and they're like, oh yeah, you guys are going to meet PK today. And they're like, oh, we can't find PK. And he's like, and the kids are a little disappointed. He's like, wait, do you guys want to meet PK? Do you guys want to meet PK? And he's like, starts pulling off all those.
I think I have seen that, actually. Yeah.
And the kids flip out. They lose their minds. It's a very funny video because they're like, oh, wow, this is so cool. But where's PK Subban? And he's like, oh, you're disappointed. Hold on a second. And just flips out. And all the kids are losing their minds because he's making such a big show of it. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a, you know, again, one of the things that is like inextricable from the PK Subban legacy, if you want to call it that, is that he's just like a super entertaining guy.
Yeah. And was entertaining on the ice. Cause I know, like, you know, he had the personality off the ice and, you know, he did TV stuff and that. And we always, because 90% of hockey players are so boring, we're always so excited when somebody can do that. But
he told the joke without just saying, why did the chicken cross the road to get
exactly,
to the other side?
Exactly.
It was like, yeah, he fucking did it.
It's, but he was so fun. Like, he was just such a badass on the ice. And, you know, like in Montreal as a Leafs fan, like I hated having to like the guy. But like, especially the thing with him is like every time I picture PK Subban, I'm picturing him in a Montreal jersey and it's against Boston. I don't know why I feel like he played Boston in the playoffs every year, but like
that's not wrong though.
Like
he probably did it more than one occasion.
Like scoring the big goal and like grabbing the crest of the jersey, or like one of the all time great hockey quotes, when they were going back to Boston for game 7 and he gave the quote about like, I can't wait to be in the building and feel the energy from the fans and then take it all away from them. That's such a great quote. And then they did it. Then they actually went and beat them in their own building in game 7. Like, that was just so great. And then, you know, he goes to Nashville and the same sort of thing. Like, he was just fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a great old Hockey Night in Canada video, like intro video where, you know, they play the song over it or whatever. And it's to what's the name of that song? It's from the Puccini opera Turandot.
Oh sure,
I don't remember
that one.
Nessun Dorma, it's called. It says
okay.
It's just like this beautiful stirring song. You've heard it a million times for sure. And it's about, it's like ahead of a Leafs Habs game, and there's just this like slow mo shot of him like wheeling out of his own zone, and he like the angle he's at, he kind of like reaches down while he's like carrying the puck, I feel like, to like he reaches down and just like lightly touches the ice with his free hand.
Okay.
And it's just like it's shot in slow motion. It looks awesome. The song is so good. Like that image is like seared into my memory. of like
yep.
the grace and power of, you know, prime PK Subban when he's, you know, still with the Canadiens or whatever.
And, man, he was so good, and I mean just such a divisive player for reasons that I'll never understand, and yet you know, I can probably guess at. Yeah. And he knew that too. Like he knew that he was, you know, oh, you high five the goalie wrong, or you're smiling too much, or whatever. Like he knew it too.
They ran him out of town for high fiving the goalie weird.
Yeah, while still loving the goalie.
Can you fucking believe it?
While still loving the goalie who was also doing the high five.
Unbelievable.
I remember one time.
God, I forgot about that.
I remember one time I was covering the Habs in the playoffs. It must have been in the playoffs. And they were playing Boston, I think. And I'm in the dressing room, and it was like game day skate. Like it wasn't after a game, but it was during the day. Yeah, and you know, a few of us were crowded around PK's locker, and the TV cameras are all there. And he's just given like these cliched, what do you think of the playoff series? And he's just given like these very standard, you know, kind of cliche hockey player answers. And at one point I was just like, well, this is like, he's not saying anything. So I turned my recorder off and I started to walk away. And one of the like veteran reporters kind of like grabbed me on the arm, and he sort of like motioned like, just wait. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we finished the availability, and the TV guys are packing up, and you know, the radio guys are, and there's just a couple of newspaper guys left. And the guy who grabbed me goes like, hey, you know, PK, what did you, maybe you addressed it earlier and I missed it, but what, you know, what did you think of, and it was like some guy on the Bruins had said something about him. Mm-hmm. And he just like ripped into this like great, like almost wrestling promo type thing about like, if he's got a problem, he knows where to find, you know, and this and that. And he's dropping all these great quotes. And afterwards I was like, what, like to the other reporter, I was like, what the hell was that? Like, where was that before? And he goes, PK knows he can't do that with the cameras on him, because people right. just, you know, the way he talks, the way he carries himself, like they'll make more of it than they need to. But he's like, when the cameras are away, you get more of the real PK, because he doesn't yeah. have to like play the role of the boring hockey player. You get like the real personality comes out a bit more, because he knows it doesn't translate into, you know, into print the way it does. So he was aware of it. He, you know, he knew what was going on, and I think he managed it as best he could. And he was just fun as hell.
Yeah, he rocked. And then, like I said earlier, you're like, oh, this defenseman you just talked about, how much you thought he was cool for like 15 minutes. Zdeno Chara is like, yep. I'm actually better than him, and I'm retiring on the same day. Mm-hmm. Signs a one-year contract, or one-day contract with the Bruins. 1 year, hey, they could maybe use him. Probably not. But one-day contract with the Bruins. Again, I say this all the time. He had played like 500-plus NHL games before he gets to the Bruins at like age 29. Mm-hmm. And then he plays 1,000-plus games with the Bruins. And then he plays like two more years after that.
And there's, look,
bananas.
You talk about, you know, PK being the cautionary example of guys breaking down. You know, Chara is what every GM thinks they're getting when they sign guy late in their late 20s. And he should, like, 6'9", you know, a physical force, 6'9", his knees should have exploded by the time he was 32 or 33. There's no way this guy should have been playing well into his 40s, but you never know. And again, like, I mean, I just finished saying with PK in Montreal, as a Leafs fan, Chara in Ottawa and Boston, like, you just like, oh God, this guy again. His evolution, because he comes into the league with the Islanders, and he's like a, you know, I don't want to say he's a freak show, but he's a curiosity. We've never seen a player this big. You know, he's this like weird gangly guy. And you say, like, how often do you say it with a player, especially one who's got physical tools, that, hey, you know, if it ever all clicked into place, look out. But it never does. And then he goes to Ottawa, and after a couple of years, suddenly it does start to click into place. And you're just kind of watching it going like, oh no, wait a second. Yeah. This guy's figuring it out. And just, you know, in Ottawa became this guy that you were just terrified of. In more ways than one. And then somehow leveled up his game in Boston even more beyond that. Just definitely one of the most fascinating, unique players that we will ever see in the NHL.
100%. So his second season in the AHL that he split between the Islanders and the AHL, he played in Lowell. So I saw this guy. And again, like you say, total curiosity. This guy, because he was rail thin until he was like 23, 24 years old. And so you're like, oh, this guy like looks like a you know, you ever see like a baby giraffe getting its feet under its for the first time? Like that's what it looked like out there. He also like I seem to recall like beat the shit out of a bunch of guys, you know.
He could, yeah.
But 47 penalty minutes in 23 games. That sounds about right.
The word got, let's just say word got out pretty quick that
you don't want to mess with the big fella.
And he was never a guy like that was part of his story, right? He never seemed like a guy who liked that part of the game or embraced it. Like, it was sort of like, you know, I don't really, I'm sure it happened a few times, but I don't remember too many games where it was like, oh yeah, the team's down, that, you know, things are going, Char is going to go out and start something. Like, he didn't start stuff, but he finished it. If you, like,
100%.
And there were more than a few times where he could have finished guys and didn't. Like, you know, I remember, like, LeCavalier one time losing his mind and deciding to try to fight Chara. And Chara just had him like pinned down, like holding his fist up. Like, dude, I could punch through you and hit the ice right now. I'm not going to, but you know, like that just became the thing where it was like, all right, don't try him.
I saw a quote yesterday from one of his last few years with the Bruins. And, he had gotten into a fight with someone at age 51 and pounded them into dust.
Yeah.
And the quote after the game from one of his teammates was, yeah, that's what happens when you tangle with Thanos.
Yeah.
It's basically the idea of like, he called him Thanos, and it's like, yeah, no, this guy is a destroyer of worlds. Like, he's, and this is the thing to your point earlier about like, he should have, you know, his knees should have given out way before. This guy was a fitness monster. Like, he, you know, would like basically do the Tour de France route in the off season. Like, he just clown there. I remember one summer he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. It's like, yeah, sure, go do that.
Yeah, but I mean, that was like three steps for him, so it's not
right. Yeah, he just took a quick walk in the afternoon, got to the summit of Africa's highest peak. But yeah, no, he like just famously an insane fitness guy. And I saw earlier this morning someone was like, do you think he signed the one-day contract the day before training camp starts so he could still like fitness test off the charts and then just go home?
Yeah,
that's right.
Could be.
But yeah, just again, like, no doubt Hall of Fame defenseman. Only won one Norris. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that is surprising because he was in the running like
8 top 5 finishes.
Yeah, there you go.
And then a few more in the top 10.
Like, just insane. I mean, you know, the goal scoring. The other thing that I love about him, and he played for so long that I feel like every fan base or most fan bases have got like that one memory of the one time somebody knocks Zdeno Chara down, like, you know, where like some regular sized dude on your team just caught him, you know, unexpected or, you know, off balance or whatever, and knocked him down. Didn't like crush him, didn't knock him out or anything, but just like knocked him off his skates. And you just remember like that for years. Like, holy crap. Remember that guy?
When Andre the Giant would get knocked to one knee.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not knocked down. He's not flat on his back like when the Hulkster slammed him at WrestleMania 3. But like, you get Andre the Giant down even a little bit, and the crowd is like, I've never seen something like this before. This
it was just
bananas.
Yeah. Like, he would get up, like, not remotely shaken up or anything, but it was it was so fun. And you know, the thing about him that's so interesting is like, again, he comes into the league in the late 90s, this giant. Okay, he's still gangly. He doesn't have it yet, but he can fight. He's huge. He can, you know, he's one of these guys, you know, you talk about Andre the Giant. I mean, he clears the net like Fezzik in Princess Bride, right? He just shows up and goes, get out of here. And people are like, yes, sir. So, I mean, the late 90s, early 2000s style of hockey, this guy's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. This is especially in Ottawa, and he starts to put it together. This is your dream. But this is like, what if Scott Stevens was 6 inches taller? Oh my God, this guy's going to be unstoppable. And then the lockout comes, and the NHL kind of transforms. And, you know, I know everybody up here in Ottawa is always going back over the whole thing that they chose Redden over Chara, which is they kind of did, kind of didn't.
They definitely did. You can't say they didn't. Well, they definitely did.
Well, the reason I say maybe they didn't is because we don't know for sure that Chara wanted to stay. There had been that he was ticked off about Hossa and stuff like that, that maybe it wasn't an option. But, you know, they certainly kept Redden and didn't keep Chara. But what people forget is that first year in Ottawa, he was good in the first year after the lockout. But then in the playoffs, they lost to, I want to say, Buffalo. Like, man, there were guys going around him. And there was some talk that, hey, in this new NHL, this new fast-skilled NHL, this guy is not, you know, this isn't the guy you hang your hat on. You go for a Wade Redden, right? The guy who can make that big first pass with, now that we don't have the red line, you know, the breakout passes were a big thing back then. And Chara's going to kind of, he won't be as effective. And, you know, he either was so good or was able to, you know, he didn't transform his game, but adjust his game to the point where it's like, okay, we're going to do speed and skill. No problem. I'll still, you know, and yeah, he's still 6'9". It's still hard to go around the guy, but, you know, by the time they're playing, you know, I remember in the Leafs had Kessel, like, you just take Kessel out of the lineup against the Bruins. There's nothing. I mean, Kessel was unstoppable against everyone else, but against Chara, forget it. Like, there's just this guy, like, however you want it to play it, like, no problem. You want to be rough and tough and play old school hockey? This guy's...
He'll throw you over the glass.
Yeah, like, he's the atomic bomb. Like, there's no, you know... You don't have an answer for this guy, I promise you. You don't want to do that? You want to play speed and skill and everything? Okay. He'll play it that way too.
Yeah, he's so fucking good. And, you know, like, it was one of those things where you hated to kind of see him go to Washington and the Islanders, just because it's like, you don't want to be Willie Mays on the Mets or whatever
Going back to the Islanders was okay, but when I saw his Instagram post and like he announced his retirement, then he had like pictures of him in each uniform, and I was clicking through and I saw like the Washington, and I was like, what? Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess, sure. I had very little memory of him going to Washington, and
I think rightly so.
Yeah.
Would be
probably
based
best
on the quality of play he turned in there at age 43, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, geez. This is one. Are we now? This might be true. We might be out of NHL players who are older than me now. Like, now that Mike Smith is LTIR retired, I got to look this up. Talk for a second.
Oh boy, that hurts. That hurts, because I know people had said that Chara was the last player to play in the 90s, play at Maple Leaf Gardens, and there was and play against Wayne Gretzky, assuming Joe Thornton doesn't come back.
Right.
He was also the last player to lose a playoff series to the Leafs, so he's got that going for him too.
I'm holding out hope that Andy Green can maybe make it happen one more time.
Yep.
Is he still playing?
I don't think so. What about Mark Giordano? You okay with him?
Gio might be Mark Giordano. Mark Giordano. No, he's 9 months younger than me.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't like to know about this.
There's got to be some old backup goalie somewhere.
But, yeah, I just looked at skaters. I mean, look, Andy Green played almost 70 games last year. So
okay,
I can maybe hang my hat on that one. It's the last skater.
I've been there a while, so it's
He's the last skater.
Not
now,
fun.
Let's see here. Oh, Craig Anderson. Whew. Okay. Craig Anderson. Long may you reign. I hope you're in the NHL for another 30, 40 years. That would be great for me. But he's the last one. He's the last guy standing for me. This sucks. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury's like almost 2 years younger than me. Everybody's like, Marc-Andre Fleury, like the insanely old guy?
Yeah. Yeah. How did you think I felt listening to how old Chara was every year? Like, you know, this, yeah, and like, this Joe Thornton. Wow. Like, and also the fact that at least Chara was nice enough to look kind of like an athlete and sure. not, you know, Joe Thornton looking like a fat old man right up until it's time to get on there. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this was a revelation I didn't really want to wrap my head around this morning, but
yeah, this,
here we are. It's too late.
This got
now.
Unpleasant.
The other big piece of news that came out yesterday, and was that there might have been one other thing, but the Nathan MacKinnon gets a big extension. 8 years, yes. $12.6 million. Highest paid player in the league by cap hit. Not really a surprise, I guess. That he
no, I mean, not a surprise, but there was... yeah, you know, there's always this kind of, well... Is the guy going to take less? Like, I mean, he deserves it. He's underpaid even now. You know,
see, people are saying that I mean, insofar as most NHL players are underpaid.
Most yeah. superstar NHL players
yeah,
are
that,
underpaid.
But you know, should he be getting more money than Connor McDavid knowing, you know, what we know?
And, yes, and, given that he signed his contract like 4 years after.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Yes. Like.
From that sense, yes. If Connor McDavid is the baseline, this is a reasonable contract.
I think this is a fair contract. I yeah. saw people going, this is a bargain. No, he's the highest paid player in the league. It is not a bargain.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's not that fucking good.
But relax. The thing is, you look at, like, you know, I think if you're an Avalanche fan, before this contract gets signed, you're looking at the fact that, you know, he was on the very cheap contract for years and years, and I imagine was completely sick of hearing about that. We always talk about these guys, oh, this great contract, and this is why they can win Stanley Cups, and what a wonderful guy that he took less. And I'm sure these guys every now and then are talking to their agents like, hey man, on my next contract, can I not hear about for years
right
how ripped off we got?
I would say that everybody at this point on the Avalanche, maybe Mikko Rantanen's the one guy where I'm like, oh, he's clearly like a little overpaid. As much as I think Mikko Rantanen's good,
even a, maybe a little.
Think he's
Cale
like
Makar is already just
underpaid.
Good God,
absolutely
insanely underpaid.
Yeah. Now you want to talk about a guy who should be making $12.6 million on the Colorado Avalanche?
Yes.
Cale Makar is that guy,
right? So,
but yeah, I think that for the most part, everybody on the Avalanche is fairly paid. They're, you know, obviously like Eric Johnson is the one outlier. And I saw people going, well, they basically gave him all of Eric Johnson's money. That's true. They did.
Okay.
Math-wise, that's true. Especially this contract starts next season, not this coming one. So he's got one more year at 6.3. But I don't know. My only thing is they got to re-sign Bowen Byram. And they got to, not next season, but the one after that, they got to re-sign Devon Taves. Or maybe they wouldn't want to just because he's, you know, older or whatever. He's like going to be 20,
be 30
almost something. By the time that new contract is up. But like, it just, the Avs have almost $70 million committed to 13 players for next season. And again, I think this is a perfectly good contract. Everybody going, oh, he took a fucking discount. Relax.
Well, I don't think he took a huge discount. Yeah, when I say it's a bargain based on where players should be, and it's a bargain based on, like, you know, Austin Matthews is up next, and there's some other guys. I gotta say, when I first heard about this, and I was thinking, I was like, okay, so they got him, they got Makar, they got Rantanen, and they got Landeskog. Oh, finally, some other team has a big four that is now past the Maple Leafs. Like, we won't have to hear it. And then I added it up, and I'm like, crap, the Leafs still paid more for their four guys.
That's really funny.
The Avalanche
I didn't even think about it.
Made
that
me
way.
Feel very sad.
Yeah, understandably so. Because as much as, like, there are really good players on the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know who they don't have is, like, Cale Makar.
No, they don't. They don't. And
Nobody does. And
I feel like Colorado has had more recent playoff success, but I might have to look that up just to check.
Speaking of which, Barry from Defector yesterday pointed out that with Zdeno Chara and PK Subban now retired, the Leafs have never beaten anyone in the league in the playoffs, NHL.
That was both very funny, but also like fans of other teams where you're doing the whole, like, how does this affect the Leafs joke? Like, that's why that's a thing. That's not a Leafs fan. That's somebody else taking big news of the day and figuring out a way to make it about the Leafs. We don't do that. We're quite happy when you don't talk about us lately.
I wouldn't go that far.
You can just skip us, though.
That's different from how does this affect the Leafs, only insofar as it is purely making fun of the Maple Leafs. This isn't like, oh, they traded Nils Lundqvist to the Stars. How does this affect Rasmus Sandin? You know, like, that's
the, you know what, that's a good question, like, though. Okay, let me, I've got some thoughts on that. The next 45 minutes will be all about this.
Yeah. You know what, I didn't have that written down, but we can briefly... talk about that trade.
I don't really care.
Not the Leafs aspect. I don't give a shit about that, obviously.
Yes.
But let's briefly talk about that trade. Nils Lundqvist, 21, 22-year-old, strong defenseman prospect. Everybody thought he was going to be really good. And then much like all the other Rangers really good prospects, is like, fucking get me out of this organization.
Right. Which, not a terrible problem to have if you're the Rangers, because it's a lot of it is because you've got talent blocking these guys. But no, I think that
the Rangers blue line, and I'm not sure they have talent blocking these guys is the problem.
Yeah. I think a lot of people may have heard about this trade and been like, they got a first round draft pick for this guy. Now it is it's not just lottery protected. It's what, top 10 protected? I think.
Top 10, yeah. Yep.
Even that's not bad. I mean, it's not impossible to imagine Dallas missing the playoffs in that, yeah, like, 11 through. Pick. Yeah. So
100%.
For a guy that you invested a late first round pick on a few years ago, that's not a bad, not bad to flip him for an asset that, especially if you're the Rangers, if you're a team that thinks you're going to be contending for a cup, that's an asset you can use at the deadline, potentially.
For sure. Yeah. You know, I think the Rangers, much like Brad Treliving earlier this summer, were in a situation where it's like, there's not like really a good outcome here. Like giving up on a guy who's much more NHL ready than whoever you would get with that pick, or to your point, like whoever you would overpay for with that pick later.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they did it as well as they reasonably could have with a guy demanding a trade, basically.
Yeah. And this is a guy who played 25 games for them last year. So it's not like, oh man, to state the obvious, this is orders of magnitude less than Matthew Tkachuk saying, I want out. And you're like, oh, but you're a key piece of our team. Yeah, this is kind of like, all right. And I was a little bit surprised that they were able to get that first round pick back for him, given that they didn't seem to have a lot of leverage, but you only need one team out there to fair. I don't know. It's an interesting move for Dallas. You know, it's not like you're trading a first round pick for some veteran guy to come in, but I think it's a
very solid bet for Dallas.
You like it? Okay.
I think Lundqvist, everybody kind of agrees, is like a really good player, even at his age, and you know, obviously he,
and two more years on his entry level deal, so you're
that's right. So yeah, I think he's a guy that everybody's like, I totally get why there's a lot of hype here. He's he's not like big or anything, but like he's just a guy who covers a lot of the ice, like he can skate and that kind of stuff. And What side's he play again? Right. He plays the right side. They barely have any right defensemen who are in, like, Yanni Hakanpaa is like their second best right-handed defenseman. That's not where you want to be, you know, like, I think Yanni Hakanpaa is fine, but like, if you're a team that has playoff aspirations for the next 2 years, cause you don't really have any other choice, you know,
yeah, you're selling me.
Yeah, and also the other thing is, if the Rangers don't really have a history of necessarily developing great young defenseman, Adam Fox, but like he didn't, they didn't draft him. They didn't have him in the system for years and years. He just was like, oh, I want to play for the Rangers, you know? Whereas, you know, Dallas Stars, Miro Heiskanen and Esa Lindell, like these are guys who, drafted and turned into good NHL defensemen. And even very good with Heiskanen. So I think maybe Dallas can talk themselves into, we can turn this around more than the Rangers could have.
That's fair. Yeah. So
I like the trade for all involved. And as JD Burke from Elite Prospects tweeted when all these rumors came out, we got to stop letting the Rangers get high-end prospects till we can figure out why they can't turn any of them into high-end NHL players.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's really no point even having it be a top 10 protected pick because, I mean, the Rangers
would just trade them for 3 years.
Yeah, it's not like the Rangers are going to turn them into some superstar anyways. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. We're talking effusive praise about retired players and a trade that Ryan thinks is good for both sides.
That's right.
It's a new era at Puck Soup. All positivity, baby.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about why every team in the league is good. All right, yep. Zach. This week's episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by Athletic Greens. And folks, what's the thing I always say when we talk about Athletic Greens? That's right. I started taking Athletic Greens because they sent it to me. And before that, I was always a little skeptical of supplements and all that kind of stuff. And I tried Athletic Greens, especially because I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of gross, right? Wrong. I was wrong about that. Athletic Greens taste good. So with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and my favorite, your favorite, everybody's favorite, adaptogens. The other thing about Athletic Greens, it's price. Super cheap. It costs less than $3 a day, and that's an investment in your health that's cheaper than your cold brew habit. And it's also cheaper, kind of goes without saying, I think, than if you bought all the different vitamins and minerals and all that kind of stuff in different supplements. You're getting them all together in one package with Athletic Greens, and what's not to like? I guess that's why they have over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/puck. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/puck to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Hey, gang. So we're back from break, and we said we were going to be positive, and I lied about that. We're, of course, not going to be positive. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the league right now, including... Let's start with Evander Kane in Edmonton. The Sharks basically gave him $2.5 million, and now he doesn't have to play for them ever again.
Yes, and they do it with no cap hit. Which
retroactive cap hit, I believe, yeah.
Which is no cap hit. It's retroactive to last year. So
Right. Essentially
it doesn't affect them in any way, which is, that was the part that I think we were all interested in. Because, you know, no reasonable person thought he was going to go back to San Jose.
I was hoping for it, though. That would have been really funny.
Been cool. Although I saw, I was hoping that like some arbitrator would just send him back to San Jose, but the problem with that is, as somebody pointed out, that would just result in San Jose having to trade him back to Edmonton and potentially eating salary and making him even more of a discount for the Oilers. So instead, they just make up the difference on what he lost by having his Sharks contract ended. And it gets retroactively applied to their cap. So if you're the Sharks, this is pretty much the best possible outcome. You don't care about the money. If you're a Sharks fan, you don't care about the money. That's the owner's cash. Who cares? It doesn't affect your cap. You're out of the contract. You're done with them. You move on.
Yep. And then, it obviously doesn't affect the Oilers either, and that's what they want, because they want a guy who can, like, score 40 goals.
Yep.
And now they have him for sure.
Yeah, and now we all see, you know, he clearly this is a guy who would pretty much every NHL stop has gotten himself into trouble or done something or
outstayed his welcome. Sure.
Yeah. Which doesn't seem to take him very long. But then when he went to Edmonton, he was on his best behavior because this was his show me contract, his 1 year deal, go play next to Connor McDavid and show everyone that you can be a positive contributor to a team. And he did that. He played great. We see now that he's got the security of a longer term contract. I guess we start the clock again and we see how it goes.
Yeah. The other thing that happened with the Oilers before, the really bad thing that happened with the Oilers was they asked Connor McDavid, hey, what do you think of this Hockey Canada stuff? He's like, yeah, everybody, it's bad for everyone. And I feel really bad for everybody involved. And it's like, well, hold on a second.
But I'm still very proud to represent Hockey Canada.
See, and this is the classic case where a guy not wanting to say anything fucked up.
Yep.
You know?
And again, because when they, I mean, it was very reminiscent of when they signed Evander Kane, and he just gave it is what it is comment.
I like the Zach Hyman quote that was basically, I can't remember what it was exactly, but so I'll paraphrase, but it was something like, if he's on our team, he's on our team. He's like, now that's how you don't say anything.
Yeah.
Salute, brother. you really nailed that one.
There is a skill.
Hey, if I got to play with this guy, I guess I got to play with him. I just show up to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, the really bad thing with the Oilers is they gave a PTO to Jake Virtanen.
Yep.
A guy who was found not guilty in a sexual assault. I can't remember what the exact charge was, but basically a sexual assault criminal trial that caused him to be released. By the Vancouver Canucks.
That's right.
Year. So 2 years ago?
Last year. So he had, because he last year had played in the KHL.
Right, yes.
He had his trial. He was found not guilty. We all know, hopefully by now, that not guilty does not mean innocent. But, yeah. You know, there is the argument to be made that if you've been through the process, that you should be allowed to move on.
And
but that like, said, there is the potential for a civil component of this to follow. So not necessarily, you know, not something where you say, hey, the book is closed and everybody moves on. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And so obviously everybody was very upset with the Oilers for doing this, even like the people who are usually like, Well, look, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers, like,
not,
you know.
Not everybody, because, you know, we did, Daniel at The Athletic wrote a piece saying, like, hey, the Oilers are getting roasted and they deserve it. And there were more Oilers fans than you would think who don't seem to feel that this is any kind of issue.
Obviously, those people are wrong. But, like, I kind of tend to leave out the opinions of the fans of the team that just signed the
fair enough
bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, because those guys are like, well, if you can play, you know, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And like some people are just unreachable on this kind of thing. And like, I don't obviously like condone it or whatever, but I accept that that's just going to be part of what happens.
Fair.
But between Evander Kane and Jake Virtanen, you can kind of go, oh, it seems like the Oilers are developing a little bit of a I don't know what the not like process or whatever, but you know what I mean. Like there's a little bit of a pattern forming here, where they're like, oh, these guys who are accused of like really bad stuff, we can get them cheap, and that's good.
Yeah, they have found a market
this is
efficiency.
A market inefficiency. Yeah.
And look, I mean, there's an argument to be made that once you've hitched your wagon to Evander Kane,
you don't have any anyway, right?
Yeah, so. And then now there's the counter argument. Obviously there's the counter argument to be made that you shouldn't be, going into business with these guys at all. But even if you are, you know, the sort of person who recognizes and maybe even accepts that this is pro sports and you're always going to overlook things to get a star player, or even a useful player, you kind of look at this and go, why? Like, this guy stunk in the KHL.
Yeah. Now, so, like, I saw a lot of people understandably saying, now's not the time to bring up, like, the Jake Virtanen's stats. Because, like, that's kind of overlooking all the other bad stuff.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand that. But I think the reason it is somewhat relevant to bring up his stats in this case is to go, the Oilers are sticking their neck out for a guy who's like maybe an AHL, NHL tweener. Right. Like they're being so flagrant about just kind of, in much the same way Hockey Canada has in recent months been like, yeah, we actually are like trying to project power despite all the bad stuff that we did.
Yeah. Allegedly. Like I'm not saying that we should applaud teams for saying we will not sign Jake Virtanen. We should point out it's a tryout, so he could still sign with any team. But, you know, I'm not saying we should applaud teams for passing on a fifth line guy. But yeah, it certainly does seem like the Oilers have just made a decision to go in that direction. And yeah, and you know what? It's look, it's we know, like, this is, and again, like, you know, Evander Kane was accused of some awful things, never tried and convicted, and, you know, so there's, and we're going to go through this again this season with Patrick Kane and potential trade there. And the Oilers are going to be in on Patrick Kane, and maybe this is going to just be par for the course for them, but you know who else will probably be in on Patrick Kane is your favorite team.
Everybody,
so
yeah,
it's kind of like, I think the Oilers deserve a lot of criticism here, but it's sort of like you want to look at other fan bases and go, hey, man, maybe just keep some of this energy when you find out your team's in the middle of the Patrick Kane sweepstakes. And suddenly at that point you're going, well, you know, it was a long time ago and this and that. Right. And, you know, on down the list of however many other players, I don't know. It's
yeah, but again, the idea that you would kind of put all that aside for a guy who can score 40 goals,
yeah,
or put up 80 points or
like
whatever.
That sucks.
I get it.
We live in the real world. We get it. And
I don't condone it. Don't agree with it. But like, I can see the logic behind if you're one of the 200 hockey men, how you would think like this. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it for Jake Virtanen, it feels like you're doing it for a very kind of different reason.
Yeah.
You know?
And especially since they, like, there were reports a week or two ago that this PTO was going to happen.
Yes.
And there was sort of a, you know, an outcry, a backlash then. And then it didn't happen for a little while. And then it did. So, I mean, it's not even like they're surprised. I mean, you can't imagine they possibly could be, but some people just have such a blind spot. But they weren't even surprised because they got the backlash preview already and they were just fine with it. So,
yeah,
we're always talking about who's going to find the next market inefficiency. And maybe this is teams like the Oilers, because I'm not going to act like the Oilers are the only team that would do this sort of thing. You know, they're the teams that have figured out, hey, let's go get guys that have been accused of awful things and we can get them cheaper. Yay, sports. Yeah,
it's really, man, it sucks. I don't have anything else to say about it other than I can't imagine why they would think this is worth it. That's what I keep coming back to. And again, to your point, this is only a PTO. And the thing is that so many times in this league, teams sign players to PTOs in part to maybe drive the price down on a regular season contract, but also because, like, Antoine Roussel just signed a PTO with the Flyers, right? You think Antoine, as bad as the Flyers are going to be, they do not have room for an Antoine Roussel type, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that in the NHL preseason, you have to have a certain number of guys who are like, check X number of boxes to be NHL veterans mm-hmm. that play in your exhibition games. And a lot of these guys get brought in just to check that box so that they don't have to use a player they actually want to use in an exhibition game where he could get hurt or whatever, you know? And so, like, even if the Oilers are like, look, we just needed a guy who wanted to, who, why is this guy? There are so many guys who are unsigned right now who are better than him.
Yeah.
Who check that box without pissing everybody off and projecting this kind of nastiness that that the Oilers seem to want to project.
I guess the last thing I want to say on this, and then we can move on to something else, is
for sure.
Whenever something like this comes up, there's always an element of it that you hear from fans or sometimes media, and it may be a way of thinking of the team itself that, like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to be an Oiler fan, but this is what's going to make you not be a fan. Are you going to not go to games? Are you going to not buy a jersey because they signed a guy to a PTO? And the answer to that is almost always no, of course not. But I've said this before, like, having, you know, being a fan, having that loyalty, having that pride in a team, it's not a switch that goes on and off. It's a dial. And at some point, and maybe even as a fan, you may not realize it, but at some point that dial goes past a point of no return. And you don't know what it's going to be or what adds up to it. But stuff like this, for some fans, does move that dial. And it's once it moves past that point of no return, it sometimes doesn't come back. And I would think more about this kind of thing if I was somebody who was putting together an NHL team from the perspective from the big picture perspective, not just, you know, focused on who's going to be my fourth line guy, but like, you know, trying to think, you know, what am I trying to build here? What do I want? What kind of sustainable relationship do I want to have with a fan base? Man, there's not one single person out there who's going to cancel their season's tickets, probably based on this, but it's not a switch. It's a dial. And I think we forget that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like Chicago has found that out in recent years.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about a different Canadian team, the Winnipeg Jets. Last week they announced, end of last week, I believe, like Friday, they announced Blake Wheeler is no longer the captain of the Winnipeg Jets. And in fact, nobody's the captain of the Winnipeg Jets.
Nope.
What were your thoughts on this? Does this kind of take you by surprise at all?
Yeah, it did. And especially in that, you know, they're not replacing him. This isn't a situation where it's, you know, a passing of a torch. And you know, my first thought was, okay, well, maybe he was in on this. Maybe this is something where he even went to them and said, we need to change the mix. And it's not. He was disappointed. You know, Blake Wheeler made that clear. This is a guy being stripped of the captaincy, which you don't see happen very often.
No.
We saw it in San Jose a couple times. Thornton and Marlowe, I think, were the last ones that I can remember.
Marlowe got stripped of the captaincy?
Yeah, didn't he? Marlowe also had it for a while. And
I think I thought they just kind of named Joe Thornton captain because, you know, for the reason that sometimes you just change your captain.
Okay.
Am I wrong about this?
I remember it as being, this was like back in like the 2000. Yeah, Patrick Marlowe is no longer Sharks captain. Without elaborating, he said the team's captaincy and two alternate captaincies are up for grab. As of now, nobody's our captain. So pretty similar situation. Huh.
2009, it says.
So 2009, that's so going weird. Back a while. And very weird that it happened, and then he played for the team for another decade. But it's rare. And I think what's unusual about Winnipeg is that this was one of the teams that going into the offseason, you went, okay, they got to shake it up. They've got to do something. It hasn't worked. They looked like they were on the cusp of something really big in 2018. It's been backward steps ever since. The mix isn't working. They got to do something. And then Mark Scheifele wanted out. Pierre-Luc Dubois wants to go to Montreal. Like there's You can't run it back with this.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly.
But,
yeah.
But like, even, you know, there were rumors all summer that, like, Wheeler wanted out or that something needed
to change. Or that, there were going to be big trades in Winnipeg. If you had to pick a team and say they're going to make some major trades, Winnipeg would be very close to the top of your list. And then they didn't do anything.
They changed their coach, but, like.
They changed their coach, but, you know, which we knew they want a new coach. They went after Barry Trotz, apparently threw everything at him. But didn't get him. They settled on Rick Bonus, sorry for that choice of words, but that's what they did.
100% what they did.
So this feels a little bit to me like we couldn't make any roster moves, so this is our change. This is how we're going to change things. It's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, whatever the leader, obviously guys like you and me have no idea what's going on in that room. We have no idea how people feel about Blake Wheeler. We have no idea how, maybe the players don't love this guy, or maybe they do love this guy. And sometimes that can be a problem too, especially when it's a veteran closing in on the downside of their career. This has all been portrayed as a Rick Bonus decision. I don't really know how Rick Bonus can have a ton of insight into what's going on in the room, having never been there. Although obviously he can have people talking to him. It was a weird situation. It's never a great look. Like we just said, Marlowe and Thornton, it can happen for a team and, the relationship can remain okay. And
what's Wheeler got left? Survive it. 1 year on his deal?
Right? Like, what does he have? Is it only that?
Let's see here. Let's find the
2 years. This year and next year.
Okay. But yeah, who knows? I mean, this isn't like Joe Thornton where it's like, oh, he's like, 31 and we're stripping him of the captaincy and, he's still signed for another 4 or 5 years or whatever. Wheeler is 36 years old and will be playing maybe 2 more years for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
I tend to err on the side of fewer than that.
But again, like if this is a guy, he's very popular in Winnipeg. It would be one thing to say we're moving the captaincy to somebody younger. We've got someone else in mind. This is,
Kyle Connor.
The Leafs maybe end up doing that with like Austin Matthews and John Tavares. Okay, that's one thing. To just say like we're replacing you with nobody is I don't know. Again, there could be any number of things going on behind the scenes we don't know about. But we can only judge based on what we do know. And based on what we do know, this feels like kind of a change for the sake of change after a team that was supposed to change didn't change much of anything.
Yeah, no. The thing that I keep thinking about with this is, we've heard, Philadelphia, there are problems in the room. We've heard that plenty over the course of this summer. I feel like we've maybe kind of heard it hinted at with Winnipeg, but I go back to like even Dustin Byfuglien being like, fuck this. I'm leaving $14 million on the table. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And then their coach quitting in the middle of last season and then immediately going to another team the second the season ended, basically.
Yep. Yeah.
And all these different players wanting out of Winnipeg. Line A and Trouba and we can say, oh well, they all had their own different reasons. It's like, well, this is one of the only teams this is happening to in the entire league, that there's just like this exodus of talent over like a 4 year window or whatever. And I gotta think there's something to it more than just like, it's really fucking cold in Winnipeg.
Yeah, maybe.
I got to think, like, that's the only thing I can think of is, like, as we say, the vibes are insanely bad there. Mm-hmm. In that room, it specifically is what I'm talking about. I don't know that for sure, but that is just, like, I the more that happens here, and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's out. This guy just quit. This guy demanded a trade. This guy's going to, leave a hole in the side of the building shaped exactly like him the second his contract is up. We got to strip this guy of the captaincy. There's something fucked up going on there, man. Like just, and we've heard the older guys on that team are super demanding, and they don't, you know, let young guys, whatever, like do what young guys in the league maybe normally would do or whatever. They have it run their way, and it's their way or the highway, you know, all that shit. I don't know. Maybe it seems like this is getting to the root of the problem in a way that nothing else really has. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. But again, you don't, to your point, you don't strip a very popular player of the captaincy without there being kind of a deeper reason that we're just never going to, maybe not never, but we're not going to know anytime soon.
Yep. That's fair. I mean, I don't know. Rick Bonus has been around for a million years. I'm sure he's not doing stuff for no reason at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just it caps off a strange off season. Like I just
didn't do anything.
Yeah,
they signed Sam Gagne. That's about it.
Yeah, and it's not playing great in Winnipeg. By the way, even the media there are like, what is going on? But
yeah. They got some good young players that people should, I think, be excited about. I don't know how you enter this season with, like, a lot of enthusiasm for what they could. Because, like, last year people had a lot of enthusiasm, including me, because I kind of figured, like, they improved the defense. And Connor Hellebuck, the year before that, wasn't, like, great. And this year he was, like, merely a top 10 goalie, and they were awful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the coach quitting halfway through the season doesn't help, but you know what I mean. Like they weren't good under what's the name?
Claude Noel?
Claude Noel, yeah.
Yeah.
No, is that right?
And then Paul Maurice was Claude Noel's way back when, yeah.
No, that's what I meant. It's Paul Maurice, yeah. I don't know why I was thinking Claude, but maybe I was just thinking. They hadn't changed much since Claude Noel.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, I don't think they're a playoff team next year, but they do have some really good players who could absolutely go off and prove me wrong. But this kind of feels like the first step in a longer process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about jersey ads real quick? Everybody mad about jersey ads again?
No, I mean, I feel like we kind of did this when we were all mad about helmet ads and then the jersey ads. They're a little bigger than I thought. It is mildly funny that the Leafs have a milk ad that is, you know.
Okay, what about this? What if I said this one, though? Like, milk was a bad choice, Anchorman.
Oh, I haven't seen that gif at all. Wow, that was...
Okay, and then if they make it to the playoffs, what if I do the Simpsons joke of Malk?
Malk or milk duds? Milk duds.
Okay. Man, can you even say that one? That's too mean.
That's wild.
People are so funny. The only thing I want to say about jersey ads is I cannot believe the Montreal Canadiens didn't say to RBC, yeah, this has to be the same color as the fucking rest of the jersey. What are you doing? They just slapped a blue patch on a red jersey, like, you know, the sacred sweater or whatever they call it in Montreal, right? They're just like, yeah, we're putting a blue patch on there. It's like all the other ones are color matched to what the rest of the team, like, logo design looks like.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
My only objection, not even objection, my only concern when it comes to ads, because, look, like, we plaster ads on everything. This league is... well past the point where we can pretend that they're not trying to maximize revenue. This is a way to do it.
If the NBA is doing it, there was no way the NHL was ever
going
to do it.
No chance. The only thing, and it's the same concern that I think a lot of fans have, is your mind immediately goes to Europe, where they're plastered with ads on, and the uniforms look ridiculous. The NASCAR thing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, is one the end of the world? No. I'm fine with that, but what about two? Well, then what about three? And because I saw a quote where, and I can't remember if it was Bettman or someone for the league, but or maybe it was someone else, but they were like, hey, you know, they're not going to go crazy. They didn't go crazy with the boards and the ice. And I'm like, I'm old enough to remember when there were no ads on the boards and the ice.
Right.
And then they started to pop up. And if you showed me back then what an NHL game looks like now, I would have said, oh, they did go crazy. They have plastered ads everywhere.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. Like, it really feels like, for all the talk you hear about, no, we're never going to do the Europe thing. You're sitting there going, yeah, you will. Slowly but surely, you'll kind of boil the frog. We won't really notice.
It's more, I don't want to say slippery slope necessarily, but, like, you know, it will be like that Simpsons joke of, like, Fox turned into a hardcore pornography channel so gradually I never even noticed, you know? Where it's like, I don't think about the ads on the boards because I grew up with ads on the boards, you know, like I'm not like you. I don't remember seeing Babe Die play. So I don't.
He was good. He was really good.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
I just have no memory of, like, you know, even ads on the ice. Like, I feel like I remember going, like, oh, there's a Bud Light ad on the ice. I don't have that in college hockey, which was the brand of hockey I was more familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I go to a college hockey rink. There's fucking ads all over the ice. Maybe, or at least in the neutral zone, like it is in the NHL. And it's one of those things where somebody's going to have to do it first. Again, I don't think the NHL will be the leader on what if we put two ads on the shirt. But if the NBA puts two ads on the shirt,
yep.
Well, you know, I think the NHL would be a lot more inclined to do so. I don't know. I guess my thing is, you can barely notice them on TV if they are color matched to the jersey, right? Again, you're going to notice the RBC one on the Canadiens jersey is going to fucking pop off the screen real big. You're going to notice that one. But most of them are more tasteful, is not the right word, but subtle, I guess, you know? The only thing I'd be mad about if I was a fan of a team is, like, I'm going to buy a fucking Nick Suzuki jersey, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to get the fucking RBC patch.
Well, apparently you don't. I thought I saw that you, when you buy a jersey, you will not get the ad unless you request it. I guess some people are completionists and whatever.
You know what?
But
toss a couple of milks on there for me.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
We need to be, like, capturing the personal information of the people who are like, I want the ad.
Tag them and bag them. Just they walk out of the Maple Leafs pro shop with the milk thing on their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately get black bag, dragged into a black van, and taken to an offshore CIA site to be questioned. What is wrong with you, dog?
Dude, what is happening here? Yeah.
What's going on? That's my only thing with it. Like, if you're not going to get that on your, like, jersey that you buy, what do you give a shit? I guess is my thing with it. Like, because, you know, you see kids walking around with, like, Fly Emirates on their shirts, on their soccer shirts in Boston or whatever. And you're like,
you don't really
all this, man.
Yeah. I this is, like, it's sort of like we talked last week in one of the bonus episodes about, like, celebrations. It's kind of like, you know, I don't think it's a big deal, but I can picture it being a big, like, can I picture an ad on a Leaf jersey that would make me go, oh, that's gross, I really don't like that? Yeah.
Sure.
It's not,
absolutely.
Or a number of hours or whatever. So it's kind of like, so far, it's not so bad. I didn't notice the helmet ones at all. Like, barely registered with me. So maybe this will be like that. But we know where this is going. But I guess you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say that this is what sports is.
Yep. All right, why don't we take another break, and then we'll be back with just a couple more items, and then I have devised a wicked game for my friend Sean.
Ooh.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It's fall. My kids are back at school. Hockey season's about to start. Vacation is over. All of which basically adds up to I need a lot more coffee right now than I normally do. And luckily, I know where to get that coffee. Let me tell you about our sponsor, Trade Coffee. It's a coffee subscription service unlike anything you've tried before, because they partner with top independent roasters to freshly roast and send the best coffees in the country direct to your home on your preferred schedule. Your trade experience can be as simple or as sophisticated as you want. You can quickly select from curated collections by roast, flavor profile, brewing method, and more. Their team of experts will do all the work, taste testing hundreds of coffees from across the U.S. every month, curating over 450 exceptional coffees that make the cut. Or if you want something that's just for you, then you can take a minute and you complete the trade coffee questionnaire. You'll be expertly matched with your perfect coffee, and a fresh bag of beans will be on its way. Either way, you got something to look forward to, and it's something better than just the usual grabbing whatever's on sale at the grocery store or the no-name brand or whatever stuff you're used to getting because it's cheap and easy and you don't know any better, which I don't. I don't know anything about coffee, but I know what I like, and I like what they send me from Trade Coffee. It's the easiest way to get your very best tasting coffee delivered fresh when you need it. You got nothing to lose because Trade guarantees you that you'll love your first bag, and if not, they'll work with you to replace it for free. So if you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/puck. That's drinktrade.com/puck for $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the country.
All right, we're back. One last bit of news here. The Philadelphia Flyers announced that Sean Couturier is out with a herniated disc. Might be a season ender. We don't know yet. The only reason this is interesting to me is the Flyers, you know, we all think they're going to be bad this year. I don't think anybody's under any real illusion about that. Mm-hmm. This might fuck up their thing of like, we're going to be in games. We're going to be hard to, you're going to know you're playing against the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, because that's, sure, that's the thing. It's like they bring in John Tortorella. They're like, okay, we're guaranteed to go to 25 overtimes this year.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and not having their number one center kind of torpedoes that to me. Where they might actually not be competitive, because I'm looking at the depth chart right now on Cap Friendly. You know who they say is the number four center on the Philadelphia Flyers is this guy, Patrick Brown.
That's a real guy, for sure.
Well, hey.
Wow.
Hey, that guy played for Boston College. He had one pretty good season.
Did he now?
Yeah, he did.
That's like when you're playing like a video game or computer game and you don't put enough guys on the roster and it's like, do you want us to just auto-generate?
Yeah. 4 years from now, EA NHL game is auto-generating like Yerky Ovechkin or whatever. Yes,
yeah.
but then also there's just like 15 guys named Patrick Brown in the same draft class.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, great.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a guy you've never heard of. I believe... Let's see, how many career NHL games for him? Since 2014-15, 77. So, he's their number four center next season. I don't like that for them. It's going to make it real hard to sell tickets. Like,
yeah.
The one guy that everybody's like, yeah, look, the team's not going to be that good next year, but at least we can go see Sean Couturier play. He's really fun to watch.
I mean, I'm not in any way trying to make light of serious injuries and, you know, the rehab and the comeback, but there is, when you heard may or may not miss the whole season, don't you kind of feel like the unspoken second half of that sentence is depending on how close to Connor Bedard territory we are? Like,
I mean, that and also like, you know, what are we going to hurry this guy back for? Like, what would be the point, you know? So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, number one center on the Philadelphia Flyers, Kevin Hayes. Good luck with all that.
Have fun, Flyers fans.
Yeah, sorry, guys. That really isn't good at all. Let us go into the game. People have been asking, when are they going to do Who He Play For? The fun game everyone likes. Well, folks, that's a little closer to the season. Some roster decisions are yet to be made, so we're not going to do that yet. However, one thing that everybody has, and you know, it's been locked in for a little while, list of NHL coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many change this summer?
A lot. I thought I saw like it's been like 13 in the last year or something like that. Like
10 since May.
Wow.
And that does not include Woodcroft, St. Louis,
right,
and Bruce Boudreau, who all got hired midseason last year. Mm-hmm. So almost a third of the league turned over their coaching situation this summer. So I'm just going to, we're just going to go down the list here. And I'm going to say to Sean, who coached them? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with the San Jose Sharks. Who coached them?
Who coached them right now? Yeah. They did the very weird thing where they fired their coaches like 2 months into the offseason, and they hired David Quinn, I believe.
Wow, he knows it. This game might not be as interesting as I thought, folks.
Well, no, the reason I'll be a little bit better on this than normal is I just kind of did my first offseason roundup thing, but
you
yes.
You son of a bitch. God well, damn it.
Who could have seen that coming? yes.
Well, I guess I ask because I saw this next team. Someone was like, oh, this guy's the new coach. And I was like, oh, right. That guy.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. The Detroit Red Wings. Who coached?
A new guy whose name I don't remember. He's a rookie head coach, but he's also like very old. And it's not Lane Lambert because that's the other guy that is in that situation. But he's another one of those guys has like a fake French name.
Derek Lalonde is the fellow's name. Longtime assistant in Tampa. Where I think he might have met Steve Yzerman.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's see here. Chicago. Who coached
Luke them? Richardson, former Leaf.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
There you go.
I should have known that.
And a guy that I'm excited to, I'm happy for him because he's been like an assistant and a minor league guy forever. He was in Ottawa, was up for their job, and is kind of in a, it's very fascinating to be a rookie coach on a blatantly tanking team because on the one hand there's no pressure, but on the other hand, like, what if he's really good at this? And they're like, "Hey, Luke, knock it off, please."
I think move number one there is, oh shit, like we won like 6 games out of 10 to start the year.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick and Jonathan, how would you guys feel about waiving your no move clause just instantly?
Yeah,
at the first sign of winning 2 games in a row.
Drop a Lego on the dressing room floor, and when Patrick Kane steps on it, you're like, oh, that looked, we might have to shut you down for a month.
LTIR city, yeah. Dallas Stars, who coached them?
They hired the Knights guy, Pete DeBoer.
That's right, yeah. Vegas, who coached them?
They got Cassidy from Boston.
They did.
Which is a good...
Did you?
That's a good one, because... No, I'm fascinated kidding. To see that because he is the guy who's like, he's like the one coach who seems to have a demonstrated ability to make goalies better. And so they put him on a team with no
boy,
goalies.
If any team needed it this year, huh?
Well,
them in Toronto.
I'll tell you right now, man, if I had to do like a preseason bet on Jack Adams, if they get halfway decent goaltending from their no-name goaltenders and make
Hayden
the playoffs.
Hill has a name. Come on now.
Sure he does. Good old Hayden.
You've heard of that guy.
Hill. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I saw a quote with Cassidy earlier this summer where he's like, yeah, I told Jack, like, for both of us, we'd like need to actually prove that we're not bad.
Yeah.
Respect. But yeah, one last one here. Boston Bruins, speaking of Bruce Cassidy,
yeah.
Boston Bruins, who coached them?
So if you had asked me this 3 days ago, I would not have known. Because when I was writing my Bruins thing, I wrote like about how weird it was that they fired Bruce Cassidy. And, you know, this is a great coach, but hey, sometimes even great coaches are worth their welcome. And then when it was time to write about who they hired, I realized I had no idea. So I had to look it up. And it's Jim Montgomery making his comeback after... the situation in Dallas. Again, could be a good news story, but a pretty tough one to head into because you're replacing a good coach and you're taking over a team where half the good players are hurt for the first 3 months. But
and there's this insane amount of pressure to make the playoffs and like you know, they're doing the last dance.
Yeah, the last dance. They've got those contracts with Krejci and Bergeron where they're kicking the cap hit to next year, so it's pretty clear that this is, that's a tough one, but you can root for the guy, I think.
Yeah. And then this is not a new hire. This is a man who's in his second year, but the Columbus Blue Jackets, who coached them? Do you know this man's
name? It's the Brad Larson. Brad
got there. He got there, folks.
Yes,
he did it. Yeah, did really well. Again, if I had caught you a week ago, maybe things would have been a little different.
And I can also tell you that if you like, I still could not tell you the name of the Arizona Coyotes coach. I know he's
Andre
French. Yes. Okay. There you go.
I don't think he's just French sounding. I think he is from Quebec.
Actual French. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Well, I don't think he's from like France.
he's there. He's got like the beret and the striped shirt, and we never notice.
He's always carrying a grocery bag with baguettes and green sticking out of the top.
He's the other guy that I would, and here's the other thing that's fun, and I'll spin this around on you. Do you know or remember who hired Andrew Brunette after he was let go by Florida?
Andrew Brunette.
Yeah. And I'll give you a hint. They hired him as an associate coach. Okay. He's basically the next head coach of this team that I'm surprised didn't fire their coach already, but I guess they want to wait till November. I did not know this again until I was looking it up and I was like,
oh isn't it New Jersey?
New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the associate coach there for Lindy Ruff, who has...
In my head, it was Washington, but I'm like, there's no way it's Washington.
No.
So, but I got there. I knew it was in the Metro.
Yep.
We were red
shirt. Very good. Very good.
But yeah, that's a... it's really crazy that, like... do you know how many coaches currently in the NHL have been in their job since before 2019?
Oh man, it's like got to be down to like single digits by now, right? Like,
oh yeah,
because I know I remember it wasn't very long that like Sheldon Keefe was like already in the top half of the coaches as far as tenure, and that was that. I think that happened last year, so even before this offseason, I'll say eight.
It's five. Sheldon Keefe is ninth. In most tenured coaches. He was hired November 20th, 2019.
Did you see the list that went around of the most likely coach to be fired first?
Yes.
And Sheldon Keefe was at the top of that. That to me wasn't a great list. I don't think Sheldon Keefe is in
enormous danger. Yeah, they had Andre Tourigny pretty high, and it's like, what do you think they think is going on there?
Yeah.
What would he have to do to get fired? Like, again, start the season with a 13-game winning streak? That's the only reason they would can him.
Yeah, like Sheldon Keefe will absolutely get fired if the Leafs lose in the playoffs or if Kyle Dubas doesn't come back or whatever. Or maybe even if the season is going completely off the rails, Dubas has to fire him to save his own job. But I don't see him like getting fired in October or something. It's not impossible, but I certainly wouldn't bet on him with the best
They would odds. Have to start like 0-6 or something like that, or 0-4-2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, and also like Tampa's started out white hot and whatever. Mm-hmm.
You know who, like, or like Ottawa and Detroit start off well and you're suddenly like, wait a second. But even then, like they gave Babcock until what? Like into
November.
Well into November. Mid-November, I think. The guy that on that list that had jumped, I don't remember what the odds were, but had pretty high odds that I hate to say it, but Bruce Boudreau. Remember the offseason when they were like, hey, you can come back on your option year or not at all. And he was like, I'll shop myself around. And then he came back. I don't feel like Vancouver's committed to him. And I also feel like Vancouver's a team that is in playoff mode that might not look like a playoff team early on. So hate to say it.
Yeah.
Because I like Bruce Boudreau a lot. But that.
He is not.
That would maybe be
my.
That would be my pick. And the other one I might mention is like DJ Smith in Ottawa. He's been around for a long time. Has not had a good team ever,
right?
But now, in theory, does.
There's pressure on him, yeah.
You know, if they start off terribly, I'm not saying they have to be in playoff spot at the end of October, but if they There's always like a team that has optimism around them that starts off like 2-8. And,
yeah,
you know, if it happens in Detroit, well, you got a new guy. You're not firing a new coach. But, yeah, DJ Smith, I could see
it. Let me hit you with one more here. Mm-hmm. Gerard Gallant.
Well, see, he was pretty high on the list.
Was he? I don't remember.
Everybody. Why would the Raiders? I mean, they had a good season. He's a great coach. You think they would?
Well, the reason
he
why.
He does seem to wear it as welcome, but.
There's that. But I just think. And I mentioned this in my column that's going up today. Like, I just think they kind of set an unsustainable standard for mm-hmm. what, like, everybody's like, oh, they're about to take a next step. And it's like, yeah, I don't know about that, man. Like, they had a really good season. They were a really good team last year. But so much of their success was on maybe like a top 10 goaltending season of the cap era. Right? Like, and as much as you think Igor Shesterkin is unbelievable, and you should,
mm-hmm.
how easy to replicate that kind of success are we really?
Right. That's and the coaches that get fired are always the coaches who just get worse than expected goaltending. And
yep.
If and we're expecting 90s hazard.
So much of their success was built on how unbelievable their power play was for most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And again, like they had one of the, I think, 20 most effective power plays in terms of goals per hour in the cap era. So the idea that they're going to get both of those things again next year,
mm-hmm.
it's a bit of a tough sell for me, I would say. I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
But I think if there's even a slight step back with what the rest of the East looks like this year, like there aren't going to be as many nights off as there were last season. That's for fucking sure.
No.
And so again, I could just see a scenario where the Rangers are like, oh, we're only on pace for like 92 points in the playoff bubble. And like, you know, again, like Philip Hedel and Kaapo Kakko aren't producing and blah, blah, blah. Does it make sense to maybe move on?
It's not.
Maybe.
It's not a bad case. First, no, I don't think so, but maybe more danger than you'd think. I'm going to have my prediction contest where people have to pick five coaches that aren't getting fired, and you made a decent case that maybe Gallant should not be one of your sure thing guys.
He would not be one of my sure things. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, anyway, you know what? Let's just do the plugs now. That was one of them. You got any more?
Got my Bizarro meter this week where it's, just strangest off season. So, West was yesterday, East went up today. Go see how your favorite team did. And a bunch of preseason stuff coming up, predictions, my most intriguing names of the season, the contest, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And then EPRinkside.com. Use the code ILOVEEP when you sign up for an annual subscription, and you'll get an extra 3 months tacked on at the end of your deal, absolutely free of charge. And the reason you would want to do that right now, you want to get into real prospect sicko mode. We just did a list of the top 100 best affiliated prospects, like guys who are not or who have been drafted or signed
mm-hmm.
in the entire league. And then we're now working on, it says right here, we're on number 24, the Florida Panthers, prospect pool rankings. We have the Florida Panthers at 24. That just came out earlier today. So, we'll have more for the next little while. And if you want to see where your team ranks, and I think it's the top 15 prospects on every team gets a little blurb. So check all that out. See where your favorite team stands, all that. And that's it. I love EP for the code. All one word, all capital letters. And then, of course, the Puck Soup Patreon, patreon.com/PuckSoup, where, we're getting to the part of the month where we do all our bonus episodes. So mm-hmm. if you want to sign up for bonus episodes with me, with Sean Gentile, with Greg Wyshynski, with Sean McIndoe, it's all in there.
Solid.
Me and Adam Vinjan might talk a little wrestling too. hey, why not, you know?
And by the way, just real quick, scale one to 10, how excited Survivor tonight, now that you're on board, now that you've become a fan? This is I'm very excited that like the only TV show I watch you now
I am very excited for Survivor tonight. So for people who didn't, why would you have seen this on Twitter? I tweeted that I like Survivor now, and Sean was like instantly like, okay, we got to talk about this. This is great. And it's because I have enough friends, including Sean, who are like, Survivor is so good, dude. You got to check out Survivor. And then there were like two Sundays ago, not the other day, but like 10 days ago or whatever. I was like, you know what? There's nothing on right now. I don't watch football, so like whatever. I'll just put on a season of Survivor. What does the internet say is the best season? And I think it's season 16. And I watched it, and like two episodes in, I was like, this fucking rips. This is so good.
Good.
And then Sean said, you got to watch the two most recent seasons because they kind of completely changed how the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched season 16, 41, and 42 in the last 10 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And what happened, part of the reason why is my girlfriend went out of town for work for a few days. Mm-hmm. I've been just sitting around not doing anything. I watched like 8 hours of Survivor on Monday. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Have you been introduced to the concept of like Survivor analytics?
Yeah.
Have people sort of
like, you know, I watch enough like Top Chef, and my girlfriend and I will watch the Bachelor and the Bachelorette and that kind of thing. And so like the idea of like, if you just keep track of who's getting the best edit.
Yeah. It's based on not on what, like how the players are playing, but on how they're being presented.
Correct.
The theory is you can figure out who's going to win based
on that. So because I watch two other reality shows, I wouldn't say I have like a 100% success rate on like picking who the winner is, which apparently the Survivor analytics usually do by, you know, like 2/3 of the way through the season. They're like
they can figure it out with high degree of accuracy, although not like perfection.
Not 100%, but so like I can usually get like two of the final three pretty easily, you know, halfway through a season or whatever. But yeah, I'm interested because I've only ever done it like looking at the analytics like after the fact, right? Mm-hmm. So I will be interested to follow along week to week and see how that works out.
You got to make a call. You got to either like follow along during the week or stay out of it because, you know, sometimes it can get spoilery, but.
Yeah, I think I would generally have a good idea of where mm-hmm. we're at with it,
yep.
but it'll be interesting for me to find out if I'm right a little bit. Sure.
Starting next week, every episode of this podcast is just going to be
Survivor Talk.
Survivor Absolutely. Talk, and then we'll be like, oh, and Austin Matthews got traded.
That's and right. We'll... I will say this, though, Sean. You asked me if I'm excited for Survivor. Yes. However, AEW Grand Slam.
That's
live
right.
from Arthur Ashe.
Boy, you got a tough night ahead of you tonight.
No, I don't. It's going to be very easy to make the decision to watch AEW, professional wrestling, number one. I went to AEW in Albany last week. So, hey, it was a fun one. But yeah, anyway, check out all the stuff we plugged. Watch Survivor, watch AEW if you want to hear our opinions on that at a later date as well. Until then. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to what if you commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Park soup.